Welcome to the Finance Fam Show. This is where we cover finances, faith, family, and freedom. Whether you're in debt or a seasoned investor, this show is going to help you beat the rat race, build wealth, get out of debt, invest, and live with purpose to gain freedom and impact the kingdom, however the Lord calls you as a believer. Andrew and I are two dudes that love Jesus. We love our families. We love freedom. We love personal finance. And we want to help you unleash all the potential that God has in store for you. So we're not finance experts. This isn't financial advice, but we're so glad you're here. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Good morning, Finance Fam. I'm Isaiah. This is Andrew. We have a heck of a show this morning.
Yeah, we do.
Very excited. It's a little spicy.
It's probably the most spicy one we've
done. It's a little aggressive. We're gonna pull. I hope you pull out the scripture on these guys this morning. I'm so ready for it.
That's right. We're gonna open the Bible this morning.
Oh,
and you might not like what is on what you hear, but if you don't like it, guess what?
It's you're going to get it. We're going to feed it to you. We're going to feed it to you. We're going to force spoon feed you the word.
That's
and
right.
Before we were prepping for this one, there's a lot of things that we want to talk about that we could talk about.
Yeah.
Right now, today is focused on vacations specifically, correct? And
that's
you want to get some context to why
sure.
vacations? And
yeah. So a current study. So today we'll talk about the current state of affairs, a major problem with the way Americans prepare for a vacation. The solution to that problem, and then a few ways that you can do it right, that you can save for vacations in a good way. And so the current state of affairs in 2017, it was found that 75% of Americans went further into debt to finance their vacations.
That's silly.
So that's where we are, where we have been. I would imagine it's gotten worse. I could be wrong. This is a 2017 study, but I don't think that is something that is drastically improved. And this is someone who has taken vacations in debt before. And it's not fun. It's not a fun emotional place to be. It's not very restful when you know in your heart, I'm going further
money that I don't
debt. I should be working and paying it off right now. Like, there is a measure of guilt that I felt when I was on vacation. And it changed when I didn't have debt.
Yeah, yeah. And in that same context we were talking about, one thing, again, we're going to get very deep into vacations.
Yeah.
But what we were talking about is, as you're listening to us talk about vacations, think through the lens of other, if I may say, luxuries.
A vacation is a luxury.
It is a luxury.
Oh, yes.
I think rest, this is a philosophical argument.
Maybe a disagreement. Fight night. Vacations are a luxury.
If I want to pull out the Bible, I think the Sabbath rest is very important. Do you need to go to Bali or Hawaii and blow 10 grand to get rest? Or could you just do a stay home? Anyway, we'll get to that. But what I was really feeling passionate about, maybe it's the Lord, I'm seeing a lot of people, and we're about to, please get ready to share that verse.
Yeah.
We're seeing a lot of people. You know, the repping the Supreme, repping the Gucci, repping the $180 Nikes, Balenciaga. I love that. That's awesome. I love style. That's four.
Dope.
I love fashion, whatever. If you don't have money to afford that, same with the vacation, same with the luxury, the car, the $20,000 car that you make 30 grand a year, like, wake up.
Yep.
Wake up. So I'm not sure if you want to share that verse or if you want to get into vacations, but I just wanted to put that out there. Think about all these
Love
things
it.
Through the lens of what we're about to talk about.
Love it. So I've started this trend. A spiritual goal I had for 2023 was to read the Bible more. I mean, honestly, read the Bible when I'm not at work, because I'm a prayer room missionary at Gate City. And so where I read the Bible is mostly at work. And so I wanted to have a quiet time that was me and the Lord, not just like a quiet time. So a spiritual goal I had this year, and it was actually this show that really inspired me and our SMART goal.
Right on.
I refer you to our New Year episode that really inspired me to go about this. And so I just woke up 20 minutes earlier, 5:40. Shout out to the early risers out there. And so I woke up at 5:40 this morning, and what I've been doing is I've been reading the proverb of the day. That's something my grandfather did. That's something my dad did. It's a family tradition to read a proverb
of
the day.
Is it correlates to the day? So like the 10th?
Yeah, so there's 31 proverbs in the book. And there's typically, you know, that we're in the month of February, but usually there's either 30 or 31 days in a given month. And so today was the 10th, and lo and behold, on the morning that we talk about Americans financing vacations and other luxuries, this popped up. So I'm reading from the Amplified here. This is Proverbs 10, and then verses 4 and 5. And this just hit me really, really hard this morning. poor. Let's look at that word. Poor is he who works with a negligent and idle hand, but the hand of the diligent makes him rich. He who gathers during summer and takes advantage of his opportunities is a son who acts wisely. But he who sleeps during the harvest and ignores the moment of opportunity is a son who acts shamefully. And so
let's all stand and lift our hands.
When I read this morning, I was just like, wow. I think the thing that struck me about it was the moment of opportunity, the moment of harvest, right? I think the translation I first read it in, ESV, it talks about the moment of the harvest. And I feel like we're in a moment of opportunity, like it says here in the Amplified, a moment where we haven't had, there's never been an economy like this in the history of mankind. The American economy right now, if you make 50 grand a year, I believe it's 50 or 60 grand a year, you are in the 1% of income earners in the world. And so if you think you're broke and you are 1%
in the top
1% of the globe, that's a reality check for you. You're not poor if you're making 50 grand.
Yeah.
You have a spending problem. And that is something that isn't talked about enough. And I believe that if you're listening to this and you're in America, you know, maybe this is going across the world and there's other people listening, not in America, but if you're an American citizen, you are in the greatest moment of harvest and as far as financially goes, an opportunity that there has ever been in the history of the world.
If I can just expound on that, on the opportunity side.
Yeah.
There's never been more information at our disposal. Your phone, you're probably watching this on, or your computer, has everything at your fingertips. All the financial information you need, all the questions that you have, they can be answered in 5 seconds.
Yes.
You have the internet. You have so many ways to make money, to build wealth, to know what's healthy for your body, to know what you should be doing spiritually. Like there should be no questions of what to do, but there's like a sense of ignoring the priorities and, you know, blocking out the things you're supposed to be doing that I'm seeing in this generation, if I may.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're just here to call it out.
And yeah.
Really, it's about aligning priorities.
Totally. And something I can speak to as a financial coach of 2 years now. I've got 2 years under my belt. I've coached probably a dozen plus people. And this is something I've noticed over and over again, that there's a sense of trouble identifying priorities.
Exactly.
I have a coaching questionnaire. And so we have that link in our notes, the coaching questionnaire. One of the questions is, what are your short-term and long-term goals? I've found that a lot of those goals that people have are a bit misplaced. What they are expecting to do in 5 years or 10 years, it's very different than the reality that they're living in. And
yeah.
So I can't think of any specific example off the top of my head, but people in my experience tend to over prioritize luxury, especially vacations. Vacations are a big one for young people. I'd say that's something I've seen a whole lot, is prioritizing vacations and rest. I just need a break. You know, it's been a tough time at work. Maybe you're stressed out because you've got financial issues. I know that that's one of the main stressors I had, you know, early on in my career was, you know, I thought I was stressed out about this, that, and the other, but really a lot of that work pressure, it was because there was a really, really deep financial problem. And so anyway, that's just something I've noticed coaching people. And so something I just want to remind you guys, if you're in debt, compound interest is working against you. This is something that we've talked about being compounded into the ground, how compound interest, what does Albert Einstein say? The one who understands it, keeps it, the one who doesn't, pays it. And so that's the reality of if you're in debt, compound interest is working against you, and that is an emergency. If you are using a credit card, this is what I wrote down. This is where things are going to get spicy.
Let's go.
If you're using a credit card to finance vacations, this is your wake-up call. You are in a season of harvest in our nation that the world has never seen. The world has never seen an economic engine like the American economy ever in history. You are living in that time of opportunity. And this is time. It's time to wake up.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. It's sad. I think about the reality. Again, I'm going back to information, and I can't get off this idea in my head of people who they have all the tools at their fingertips. They know what they should do. but they're not doing it, and they're giving it to Citi and to Chase and to Capital One, and they're jeopardizing their financial future. So I do also want to say I'm feeling this kind of on the spot here. We're not saying don't take vacations in the sense of don't take rest. I really want to restate that. Like, we're not saying don't take rest, but don't go to Hawaii and blow 10 grand that you don't have. Yeah. Don't feel like you need to book that place that you can't afford, or don't eat out at a steakhouse every single night because you feel like you deserve it. Like, if you're in debt, you deserve nothing, my friend.
Yeah.
Earn it. Earn your way there. So I'm getting on a tangent. Go ahead.
No, Andrew. Good word. And so the solution to this problem, we discussed that problem. 75% of Americans went further into debt to finance their vacations. And so that's that is a minority of people that are doing vacations right. And so the solution, we are saying, if you are in debt, do not take vacations. Dave Ramsey famously said, broke people don't go on vacations.
Live like no one else.
Yes.
So you can live like no one else.
Exactly. And so more people should heed this advice. And the fact is, if you have debt, you're not financially ready for a vacation. Why? Because this vacation will cause more stress than the supposed break it will give you. Mm-hmm. I can tell you, when I was in debt to my parents for a substantial amount of money, and I would go on vacations with my parents, and I didn't know why I was feeling tense, why I was feeling uncomfortable. Oh, it's because I've not been prioritizing paying this off enough. Right now I'm resting. What I should be doing, like, there was something in me that was like, it just made it uncomfortable. I'll tell you, the first vacation I had with my parents after that debt, it was like, it was fun. It was like, oh man, this is it. There was just something so satisfying about, the proverb says the borrower is slave to the lender. There's nothing more challenging to a relationship, particularly a close relationship, like a parent, sister, brother, like whoever, your debt is to personally in your life. There can be no greater strain on a relationship. And thankfully my parents are awesome, and so it wasn't like this then.
But it sits there. It's always there.
There is a spiritual reality to the borrower, slave to the lender. I do owe you something, mom and dad. And, they were very generous with, the way to pay it off and all that stuff. But there was an aspect of when I went on vacations, it just felt icky. And that may not be the way you feel when you go on vacations, you're in debt, but that was just something that hit me. It was a different paradigm. When I went on vacations after my debt was paid off, gosh, it felt amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So if we're not going to be financing vacations and taking debt because we're going to be smart, right?
Yeah.
But we still want some rest, and maybe you're in debt, or maybe you're building your emergency fund. I actually would love to hear your take on building an emergency fund and vacations. What then should people aim for?
Yeah. So the best way to pay for a vacation is the cash flow. And so what that looks like, and what your financial coach would tell you when we sit down and we plan for a vacation after you've paid off your debt, you just put a line item in the budget for that month. If you're, let's say
you're doing an 3-day weekend Airbnb.
Exactly. And so brunch. And this is just a powerful, powerful exercise. If you're in the month of May right now and you're looking at June and you're like, oh, I'd like to go to the beach in June, then you can say, okay, what is the Airbnb going to cost? And instead of going, I don't know, I'm stressed out, it's going to cost a lot of money, I'm just going to swipe it, I'm just going to close my eyes and hope it all works out.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of people do. They just swipe it and they don't look at the number. They're like, that's
I'll work more.
Lie
to yourself.
So instead of just swiping and not looking at it, take that uncomfortable step of looking, shopping around, and finding a place to then pay for. And say, okay, that's my Airbnb, that's my housing cost. Then you go, oh, I've got to drive to get there. Let's say it's a beach in Florida, right? And so you've got to drive, 9 hours there, 9 hours back. It's South Florida, so it's really far away. We're in Georgia.
Miles,
yeah. So that's about what. So you calculate literally from your doorstep to that Airbnb the exact amount of miles that you will take. And then you'll, and then you can calculate how much that will cost. And there's a pretty easy way to calculate what the cost of gas will be. And you can just take, the mileage on your car. You can Google this. You can, You can ask the search engine. You can even ask an AI if you want to, how much your car gets, how much your car gets in mileage. And then you will take that information and put that as your line item for gas.
You got to eat 3 times a day.
You do. And
do you have to eat out every meal?
When you're on vacation.
That's the best hack.
I'll say it like this. If you're on vacation and you are at the seaside, I expect you to enjoy some locally caught fish, some locally caught shrimp with some tartar sauce and some deep fried fries that taste awful but taste great in tartar sauce. I expect you to do that. And so what you can do is you can go online to wherever that crab place is and you can look at the menu and go, wow, you know what? The most expensive thing on the menu is this oyster platter. It's $60. You know what? Ooh. That'd be a lot of fun. Let's do that. And so you calculate, hey, I'm going to pay $60 this night. I'm going to pay $60 Saturday night. Let's say Friday night, Saturday night. And I'm going to have fun on Friday night and Saturday night. And you then calculate that into your budget. And obviously, you know, you're probably eating at home. If you're me, you're intermittent fasting. You don't eat breakfast. Ha ha.
Even better. Cheat code. Let's say you don't have, you said $60 a meal. That's $180. That's a lot in food.
Sure.
If you're, my favorite thing is to house hack an Airbnb with friends. Because one, friends. And two, you all can pitch it on groceries. You're like, hey guys, we're going to do breakfast and lunch at home.
I'm talking about a luxurious vacation. Okay, I'm just saying. Where you eat $60 oysters.
If you are still in debt and your cash flow, or I'm sorry, if you're out of debt, your cash flow on this vacation.
That's right.
And you can't afford oysters. Oyster.
I'm saying don't go if you're in debt. Don't go. My assumption is if you're in debt, don't go on a vacation.
I'm saying if you're cash flowing the vacation, but you don't have enough to cash flow the steak dinner, then like still get smart. You know, we love to do. Hey, we'll do breakfast, lunch at home.
Yeah.
And then dinner's out. We'll go out.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I'd say if you're broke, if you're in debt, and you know, plan for a vacation when you're out of debt. Where you do pay $60 for oysters. Where you do.
That would be the best oyster you ever had in your whole life. Let me tell you.
You're out of debt and you're eating swordfish. They just caught that swordfish and they're just putting it on the table and it's going to be amazing. And so I know I've kind of gotten off track here, but the point I'm making is you can actually go online and plan your entire vacation. And and that's actually something that I try to do. On a vacation is I'll go, okay, what are we eating this night, this night, and this night? Because if you have a plan on a vacation, you can actually enjoy it.
Yeah.
You can actually, what's the word? You know what to expect. You know exactly what you're going to pay. If it's just like, oh, we're going to maybe go out to eat to a place with friends or whatever, you don't know if that place is a fancy dinner. You don't know if that's a gross place that you don't even want to go. It's a good idea to, like, if you're going on vacation, to look at the place you're going to go to. I went to Detroit with my dad, and I was like, Dad, let's go to the top three highest rated places in Detroit. So we went to the first ever Detroit deep dish, like the literal restaurant that invented deep dish. Nice. So instead of going to Detroit and going, huh, I wonder what we're going to eat tonight.
You just asked Jacob.
I prepared. I prepared. I said, okay, I am going to go to a significant place. I also wanted to see something while I was up there. And so I was like, Dad, I invited him to go to the Ford Museum. And so the Ford Museum is where they actually invented the Model T, where they put it together.
Yeah.
And so instead of just going, wow, I'd love to see something in Detroit. Like instead of just going to Detroit with no plan and I might do something, look at what is in that city and what you would find interesting. And I'm telling you, my dad and I just had this awesome moment walking through, looking at these old cars. I'm not a cars guy. My dad is not a cars guy, but we're just like, we're seeing, I mean, we saw history and my dad got really inspired and we'll share this, this show is getting a little bit long, so we won't share, all of it, but it was a really impactful moment going to the Ford Museum with my dad because the Lord spoke to him about legacy and what it means to pass on something. Henry Ford passed on his business to his son and passed on the secrets of the Model T and how to create.
Wow.
I think his son was like 12 or 13, and he was an influential part of creating the Model T. And that experience led to him creating the, what is it called? Like a later model and actually save the company. Without that generational transfer of knowledge, Ford wouldn't have even been a thing. And so all that to say, when you're going to a city, please don't just go to a city. Enjoy that city. Ask around. I when Joy and I recently went to St. Louis, I'd been to St. Louis like maybe by now since I'm married to the Stearns. Shout out to the Stearns. I've been there like, I don't know, 10 times, 12 times. I've lost count. Every time I'm there, someone talks about Sugar Fire Barbecue. Every single time, oh, you got to try Sugar Fire. And what I did this time instead of last time, instead of just going, oh, I'd like to go to Sugar Fire, right? That'd be a fun thing to do one day. I said, you know what?
I'm going to plan it in.
Babe, I don't know how much Sugar Fire costs, but we're going. And I got some brisket from the legendary Sugar Fire restaurant.
Come on.
And I've never had barbecue quite like it. I had it in 40, like I had it in, I think, -3 temperatures outside, wind chill of 17. I'll never forget this moment. I'm walking out of my car into this iconic restaurant and I almost fell over because the wind was so strong. And it was, I believe, -6 or -7 with a wind chill of -20. And I'm getting barbecue. I'll never forget that moment as long as I live. But if I just gone and said,
McDonald's,
I'm in St. Louis, I need to eat something, what am I going to do? I had an unforgettable experience where I got iconic barbecue in -20-degree weather. It's beautiful. So I know that I've taken a long time, but again, when you go to a city and when you...
I think it comes back to like a budget, like telling your money where you go. It's the same thing with vacation planning. You're telling your time and your money where to go.
Yeah.
It's just being smart.
And I think when you go on vacations, you shouldn't be penny pinching. I think when you go on a vacation, it is crucial, at least for me, I would like to, if I'm going to, I don't know, St. George Island or what's another place people go to? I want to go to the iconic restaurant. I mean, that's just me. That's what is in my heart, or the pier, or the thing that makes that city exciting, makes that area the most. And so I hope that I'm making sense. And so what you do in a vacation and how to cash flow it, back to the original point, is you take that housing, you take those restaurant costs, you take everything that you want to do and add an extra $100 to it just so you've got some walking around money and you know that you're good and you're not going to have to stress out about money. And then you cash flow that sucker.
Yeah.
And you say, I'm going to fit this into my budget. And so that's what you did. I took a very, very long time to explain what to do. But when I say cash flow vacation, that's what I'm talking about. And when you go on vacation, I want you vacationing. I want you enjoying that. I want you to have the time of your life. I want you to have a moment like I had with my dad at the Ford Museum where you're like, I am witnessing history and I'll never forget this moment. I'll never forget walking through that Ford Museum with my dad. It was one of the most impactful moments of my life, truly.
Yeah.
Anyways, and so do you have anything to add to what I said? So that's how you cash flow. Do you have anything to add to cash flow?
Yeah, you covered it very well.
Very cool.
If you want to go to Bali or Hawaii,
yeah,
which is going to be much more expensive, how would you save for that?
That's true. And so we'll probably have to do another episode on this, but you would do a sinking fund. And so you save for it over time. So let's say the vacation costs $1,000. Again, Bali is probably going to be, I don't know.
Let's say it's 10 grand.
10 grand.
Let's say you're going to do it. You've been waiting to go for 20 years. You're going to do it. What do you do? You're going to go in December. It's January. How do you plan for that? $1,000 a month?
Yeah, you're going to have to save a lot of money very, very quickly. And that's what you got to do. So so the example I have here is $1,000 vacation. And you save $200 a month for 5 months. That's very realistic. That's very achievable. That's very possible. And so if you're looking at a $10,000 vacation, that's saving $2,000 each month for 5 months in order to get that. And that's, you know, for a lot of people, that's not, you know, realistic. But a $1,000 vacation is super realistic if you save $200 for 5 months. Imagine the vacation of your life. What could you do in an iconic city with $1,000. Let that be the vision that drives you to save for a vacation and to vacation right and to not cash flow that sucker. In this show, we talk a lot about freedom. We talk a lot about budgeting. This is what freedom looks like. This is what it can look like to live like no one else. And hopefully this motivates you. If you've been swiping your card for vacations, if it's been stressful to be on vacations. Hopefully that this conversation about vacations today gives you a vision for what it can look like to live like no one else,
baby.
That's right. Sweet. So today we've talked about the current state of affairs, the 2017 study, 75% of Americans went into debt. We said don't go on vacations if you're in debt, and we talked about ways that you can save for vacations. And so thank you guys for listening to this episode, and remember, don't look back.
Look ahead.